Yes, you did. Okay, all right. Well, good morning, or is it afternoon? What time is it?
Morning.
I feel like I just got to get up closer to you guys. Although I'm guilty, I was sitting as far back as you could get. Because I want to be so humble. How is everybody today?
Blessed.
Who said that?
I did.
Oh. We're blessed, okay. You know, I'm going to endeavor today to talk to you about God's love. It's a subject that you can never completely cover. It's just not possible to completely cover it. How many would agree?
Yeah.
Okay. All right, that's good. How many of you disagree? Nobody agrees and two of you agree. That's not good. Well, I just want to tell you today from my heart, from my experience of God, and I know you know this, we know this here, and we know this here, but we need to be reminded all the time, God, your God, the one that made you, loves you. He loves you. He cares about you. He's intimately acquainted. Is this just me that's doing that, Dave? Okay, all right. Just want to make sure I'm not making the wrong moves. But he loves you, young lady. He loves you so much. Look at the parents he gave you that love you so much. That's how much your God loves you. He does. You know, I came in, I slipped into the kingdom of heaven after the Jesus movement. I came up a different way. I was one of those guys that if you were in the Jesus movement, you may have seen me. You don't recognize me now because I had bangs back then. But I would go to the Jesus rallies and I would bring my wine and I would hoop and holler and mock, make fun. I would go out and I would urinate on the cars. I know that's too much information, but that's what I did. But I had God's attention. He had his eye on me and he loved me just the way I was because he knows what is in us. Isn't that right, Dan? He knows what is in us. And he loves us so, so much. I just want to stress that to you. How many of you ever heard the song, The Love of God? It's an old hymn. Mary's heard it. Anybody else? Dan's heard it. I just want to read for you the words of this song. I'll turn to a scripture verse here in case you're getting nervous on me. I'll do a scripture verse here in just a minute. But I want to read the words to this song. There's so many songs we could pick out about the love of God, but I just want to read this to you. Where is it? Oh, there it is. Okay. All right. This is the last stanza of this hymn, The Love of God. And it says here that I'm missing something. Where is it? Oh, could we with ink the ocean fill? I want you to think about that for a second. If we could fill the ocean with ink, and every stalk of grain on earth was a quill, and if the sky could be made into a huge scroll, and if every man and woman on earth could be a scribe by trade, we could never write the love of God.
Amen.
Church?
Come on.
We could never write the love of God. It would drain the ocean dry, and the sky could not contain the scroll it would take to write it out. It's endless. It's so huge. It's so powerful. It is immense. As a matter of fact, it's interesting. I don't have the other verses with me. Somehow I omitted them, but the story behind this hymn is amazing. I don't know if I want to go there, but let's turn in your Bibles, if you have them, to Ephesians chapter 3. I know Dave has been pumping you for a long time now, about a year probably, about the fivefold ministry, about the gifts that God has given to the church. And but this comes before that. They're in chapter 4, but in chapter 3,
We all know this verse, at least I think most of us do, but in chapter 3, verse 14, it says this. Paul says, "For this reason I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith." Follow along with me now, okay? "So that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, so that you being rooted and grounded in love." God literally wants, church, I'm going to try to make this as short as I can. God literally wants you, young and old alike, to be anchored in his love, steady in his love, steadfast in his love, so assured in his love, just poised in his love, so that we are so confident in his love for us and his love for others that we can walk this life out accordingly, that he loves you. Let me tell you something. As a pastor, I have messed up many, many times. I have sinned.
No.
Yes, I have. I have sinned. I have done things wrong. I have done things that are really not right. Let's put it that way. I have been a bad, bad boy. But I have learned through all of that that God loves me.
Amen.
Because I just want to tell you something. The devil will never encourage you.
Right.
He will never, ever. Come on. Church,
Amen.
He will never, ever encourage you. He doesn't have a good thing to say. He'll fill you with pride. He'll try to get your ego lifted up, but he will never encourage you. He will never bring you to the throne of grace and mercy so that you can find help in your time of need. He'll never do that for you. He will all shame you and condemn you. I still like what you share about the nails. I just love it. I just love the fact that he took our shame. He took the pain of our shame. He took the pain, period. From us. God just loves you, church.
Amen.
He loves you, young and old alike. If there were some black people here today, I'd say the same thing to them. Chinese. Every race on earth, God just loves people. He just loves them. And God so came into our lives because he wanted to show us how much he loved us. He sent his only begotten son so that whosoever would believe on him would not perish, but have everlasting life. That's how much he loves us. He loved me so much that he had people praying for me, that were going after me, that were trying to share the gospel with me, and I refused them, but he just kept after me because his love, it just never ends. And God wants us today to be so rooted, Ralph, in that love. He wants us to be so grounded in his love that we are so sure, we are so steadfast in it, that we are just resting in that love and we're confident in it, so that when we do have problems, whether we're on the mountain or we're down in the valley, we know that our God loves us. Because we're not always going to be on the mountain where everything's going well. There's going to be those times when God is going to have to be for us the God of the valley. We're down there, and he is there with us, and he's the same God that was with us on the mountain. Amen. He's just as faithful now down here as he was up there.
Amen.
That's right. Thank you for the amen, because it's true. God wants you to be rooted and grounded in his love. His love is such an amazing thing. You know, I grew up in a family. There's three kids. I'm the only son. I'm so special. I have an older sister, a younger sister, but I grew up in a family where my dad was not what you call an affectionate man. He come up in the Depression. He's 85 years old. He come from one of them families, and I think many of us did, where you didn't hug. You didn't say, "I love you," very often, although he did say it to me, but I just didn't know that, and my dad was the kind of guy, and I love him so much. So, Dad, if you're listening to me or watching me or something, I love you so much. But we didn't get that in our family. I got that from my mother, but I didn't understand a father's love. When I came into the kingdom of God, I could not understand what it meant to be loved by a father. I mean, that way. I always knew that God loved me, But to understand that love, how deep it is, how caring it is, that whenever he says something to us, he says it to us so gentle. Can I hear an amen?
Amen.
He says it to us so loving. He is so compassionate. And that whenever he disciplines us because he loves us. It's for our good. So young people that are living at home, whenever you're disciplined because your parents care about you.
Amen.
They care about you. That's why they do it. I have to drive that over and over to my children over and over again. It's only because I love you that I'm about to do this. And then I would smile. And there was no way I was going to convince them this is going to hurt me way more than it's going to hurt you. That one they just could not believe. And it didn't. It didn't. But you know, when I came into the kingdom, I was I was touched by the love of God, but I was a critical man. I was a harsh man. I could look you over, and in about 2 seconds, I sized you up, I judged you, and I just already decided who you were and whether I liked you or not. God had to rearrange that in me in order to change me and for me to see his love. But I want you to go on here with me now, because he says here, he says that you may have strength. Look at verse 18. That you may have strength, or you have the ability to comprehend, or the ability to grasp, or the ability to make something your, that you're going to have it for yourself. It's going to be your own. You're going to make it your own. He says, I want you to be able to make your own. I want you to be able to have the height, the depth, the length, and the width of the love of God. So I want you to have that. I want you to be able to make it your own. How high is the love of God? How high is it? Let me just tell this from my experience. God's love will take you to the heights. It will bring you to a euphoric place where you are just asphyxiated with him. That's how high his love is. It's amazing.
Amen.
It's incredible.
Amen.
That's how high his love is. And it goes beyond that. It goes beyond what it says here in Ephesians, that in the end of chapter 3, that he is able to do exceeding abundantly above that, far above what we've ever asked or thought or what we've ever experienced in him. He's able to go beyond that.
Amen.
He's able to do that. How deep is God's love? How deep is it? It's wherever we go. When we're down in the valley, his love is down there with us.
Amen.
That's how deep his love goes, to the depths with you. When you're hurting and you're in pain and all you can do is cry, or all you can do is sit there emotionless, he is love.
Amen.
God is love. His love is there for us, and he goes down into the depths with us. How long is God's love? What's the length of the love of God? It's forever, right? It goes on and on and on and on. It follows us. It'll follow us to the end of days. Right?
Amen.
His love just goes on. It'll follow us down the road. It'll follow us wherever we go on this earth. I am with you always, Jesus said, even to the end of the earth, even to the end of the ages. I am with you. That's how long his love is. It just goes on and on and on and on. No matter what you go through, no matter where you are, he's there with you. Even if you try to run, like David said, I make my bed in hell, Lord, you're there. If I try to run off into the skies or to the depths of the sea, God, you are there. His love is there. What do you think brought Jonah out of the belly of the whale? It's the love of God. Why didn't he just let him die? Because he loves him. He loved him. Why did he send him to Nineveh? Because he loved the people of Nineveh. Why did he give Jonah a second chance? Because he loves him so much, and he loves those people. Didn't Jonah learn a lesson of love when he was in Nineveh? There he was sitting outside the city, just disgusted, still hadn't learned a lesson. But at the end, I think he got it. And church, that's what God wants us to get, is how much he loves us. Because when we understand how much he loves us, we can go beyond the realms of who we are, and we can reach out to others and show them how much God loves them.
Amen.
It's very hard for us to paint a picture to somebody or to convey to somebody how much God loves them unless we first experience that love ourselves. True story?
Amen.
How wide is God's love? That big, right? He stretched out his hands and he died for us. It's that huge. How far is it? How wide is it? It's from the east to the west. That's how far and big and wide God's love is. I've always said, but we have to believe, we have to know in our hearts that God is able to embrace the worst of sinners. He's able to embrace them in his big arms and love them in all of their sin. In everything that they are, he's able to do that. Amen. Can I hear an amen?
Amen?
It's a true story. But God wants us to know it. Now listen, God says today, he says, I want this to be the goal of your life, is to nail this down, to understand, to be able to make it your own, the height, the depth, the length, and the width of his love. Hello? That's what he wants for us. He wants us to make it our own. He says, I want you to attain to it. It's the same word. Remember in Philippians when Paul said, I'm forgetting what lies behind. I'm looking forward to what lies ahead. I'm pressing on towards the goal of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. He says, I haven't already attained it yet. It's the same word. He says, I'm pressing forward to lay hold of. That's the same word. For which I was laid hold of. It's the same word. God wants us to lay a hold of the height, the depth, the length, and the width of his love. Why? Yes. I preach like my wife cooks. My wife makes delicious food. But if you were to call her up and say, "What? How much of that did you put in that recipe?" And she, "I don't know." That's, if you've seen my sermon notes, you would just be confused. So that's why I'm all over the place today. Because love surpasses knowledge. It goes beyond knowing. It goes beyond Islam, Buddhism. It goes beyond that. I was just so excited, Craig, when you were talking about the religions, although I made it for the last 5 minutes. But I was so excited because there's no other religion on earth but the life of a Christian that has that kind of a relationship with their God. It's full of fear in Islam. It's full of whatever in Buddhism. And the list goes on and on and on, full of self. But to have a relationship with God, to know that God loves us, that he literally welcomes us to come to the throne of grace and mercy anytime that we want to.
Amen.
Can you shout hallelujah?
Hallelujah.
I'll tell you what, God is so good, man. But he wants us to lay hold of this thing. He wants it for us. I love the spiritual gifts. How many love the spiritual gifts? I love them, and the scripture says that we're supposed to earnestly desire them, to seek after them, and I think we should, and I think we should more. But he says to pursue love. Pursue it. Go after it. Lay hold of it. Make it your own. Attain to it. Grab onto it and make it yours. That's the key. Don't forget the other part about pursuing the spiritual gifts. Go after them. Earnestly desire the spiritual gifts. Everybody said amen.
Amen.
Say, I'm going to do that this afternoon, Pastor Brian. No?
Amen.
Okay. Be zealous for spiritual gifts.
Amen.
We need to use the gifts that God's given. It's part of his love for us. Not only that, but it ministers to others. When we have that, it ministers God's love to those people. I want to tell you, a few stories here before I end, and then I'll end, but just want to get to this last part here. He says in verse 19, and to know the love of God, to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, so that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Do you know that we cannot be filled with all the fullness of God unless we know the love of Christ?
Amen.
Now, Paul's writing here to the church. He's not writing to those that don't know, he's writing to the church. He says, I want you to know the love of Christ. There's a big difference between the word lay hold of and the word to know. So you wonder, what does that mean? I'll tell you. It means the intimacy that a man has with his wife. That's the same word. That's how he wants you to know God's love. How does a husband and wife experience that fullness of love, that intimacy? What are they experiencing when they come into that? They're experiencing the full love that they have for one another. Is this too graphic?
No.
Because it's true.
Amen.
It's true. That's the kind of love God wants to have with us. He literally wants us to be in intimacy with him. He says, I want you to know. Paul wrote to the church, he says, I want you to know God's love that way. I want you to experience that euphoric presence of his love in your life.
Amen.
God is so good, Randy. Man, he is so good. He loves us. He cares about us. If we're at the other end of the earth, he cares about us. Amen? I know I shared this story before, but maybe I didn't share it with you guys. I'll share it again because I like it so much. My wife and I, a number of years back, we went to a conference out in North Carolina. We were at Mahesh Shabda's church. How many ever heard of Mahesh Shabda? We were out there and we're sitting in this service and we were going through a very hard time with one of our children. It was very, very difficult. It was tough. I swear I aged 5 years. I thought I was going to die. I mean, it was horrible. And hallelujah. God is so good. We're sitting in that service, and Mahesh Shabda's clowning around. He's singing a song. And he says, you know, he says there's a Brian that's in this place. And I sat there for the longest time because there's how many people?
500
people in that room. And I sat for the longest time thinking, surely there's a Brian in this room, but it's not going to be me. Nobody raised their hand. Nobody stood up. Nobody responded. He says, now there is a Brian that works for me here, but I'm not talking about that Brian. There's another Brian here in this room. He did not let it go until finally a push came from behind me, and I was on my feet, and before I know it, I was headed down to the platform. I got down to the platform, and he looks at me, and he says, you have a child, and their name is, he gave like three names, and then the last name he hit it. It was just different versions of their name. The last name he hit it, and they are going through some things right now, and God wants you to know that he sees what's going on, and he's watching over that child of yours, and he's going to bring them through it. He's going to give them a new heart. I want to tell you something. That's how much God loves you.
Amen.
That's how much he loves you, that he would put it on somebody's heart. I'm on the other side of the United States, and God speaks to me through a man because he just loves me, and that's just exactly how he loves you. Exactly how he loves you. Do you get it, church? Do you get it? How many have ever experienced? Oh, don't be afraid to put your hand up. How many have ever experienced the love of God?
Amen.
Come on.
Hallelujah.
Well, I'm here to tell you that you ain't seen nothing yet.
Hallelujah.
Because it's beyond our imagination.
Right. Amen.
I'm Scandinavian. I don't get emotional. I don't get excited. I don't shout hallelujah. But when God's love touches me, I do. And every time we worship the Lord, his love comes.
Amen.
Because he says, whenever you're gathered together in my name, I am there in the midst.
Yes.
And so just pinch yourself during worship and make sure you're there.
Amen.
Because his love is there. His goodness is there. Amen?
Amen.
Years back, I'm sure that you could give me story after story, but I just want to drive this point home. Years back, my wife and I were pioneering a church in Superior, and we had started in our home, and it was incredible, and it was incredibly hard. It was not a fun thing to do. And one Saturday morning, I said something to Lisa, and she said something to me, and you can kind of guess what happened after that. The police were not called, but it was intense. So much so, matter of fact, that was on Friday night, so much so that when we finished with our intense fellowship, when we finished with it, I lay down on the bed and I was physically exhausted from an argument. I was wiped out and I thought, this is it, I'm done, I'm toast. I wanted to quit. I wanted to just give up everything and just run. I got up the next morning and I went out to take a walk in my favorite little place where I would go to pray. And I'm out there and I hear God speak to me. You know, you're kind of wondering, is this God? And he says, I want you to put your hands in the air right now. And I want you to ask me to have intercessors pray for you. Okay. So I did, I asked the Lord to have intercessor pray for me. Finished the day out, like any other normal day. Finished Sunday morning out. God was good, he came, he blessed, it was refreshing. About 2 weeks later, I got a phone call from my pastor's wife, or the church we had left over, Prince of Peace. The pastor's wife had called, and she said, Brian, where have you been? I've been trying to get a hold of you. She said, I was down in Bradenton, Florida at an intercessors conference. And after the conference, we had all of our tables set up, and I had a table set up for mine, and I had a man come up, and it was the intercessor prayer group, and he said, so where are you from? And she says, well, I'm from Duluth, Minnesota. He says, oh, Duluth, Minnesota. He says, pray for Duluth, Minnesota all the time. And they're from Bradenton, Florida. He says, we pray for them all the time. He says, we've never been there, not exactly sure about everything there, but we pray for that place all the time. He says, who is Brian Schumacher? Now let me tell you, does that say that God loves you? He says, I've been praying for him. God laid him on my heart. I've been praying for him. You tell me, church, that God doesn't love us.
Amen.
He loves it. Do you think that he loves me more than you?
Love me more.
Hey, I had that argument with my brother-in-law this morning. I said, it's too late for you to be his favorite. I am it. You could get up here right now and you could tell me about how much God loves you, what he's done for you, the things he's done. Look at the way he saved your soul.
Amen.
Look at the times he answered your prayer. Look at the times when you thought you weren't going to make it, that it was over. He came to you. Church, we have to be so secure in this love. I want to just share one more thing. Is that okay with you? And then I'll be done. In Luke 15, you don't have to turn over there. But if you want, go ahead. In Luke 15, there's three parables. Parable of the lost sheep, the parable of the woman with the lost coin, and the parable of the prodigal son. We all know those parables. But at the onset of those, Jesus tells those three parables because it says they were grumbling against him because he was eating with sinners. He was fellowshipping with sinners. Oh, it says that all of the tax collectors and sinners were coming to him. Oh, it's up there. Even the publicans and the sinners were coming to hear him. The Pharisees and the scribes that were murmuring against him. They said, this man receives sinners and eats with them. He spoke this parable to them, saying, what man of you having 100 sheep? Da, 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 da. Let me ask you something. Why were they all coming to him? It's time for us to think. Why were they all coming to him? There's no right answer. There's no wrong answer. Go ahead. He didn't just say that he loved them. He loved them. That's what drew them. He worked signs and wonders and miracles. He fed them miraculously. He healed them. He delivered them. He displayed God's love for them. He didn't just say it, but he was this man, Jesus, who is our Savior, was so approachable. Ask yourself this question: am I approachable? Am I approachable by other people? Am I approachable by people that normally would turn me off? I'm not always. I'm not. But God wants us to be approachable. We want to be able to approach people. That's what God's love, it knows no bounds. God's love has no boundaries. God is plagued with love for humanity. Amen. Jesus was not afraid to approach anybody. He had no fear of it. People were drawn to him, and it tells me, all three of those parables tell me something. Number one, the lost sheep, the lost coin, the prodigal son. They were missing. When we're away from God, we're missing. He notices. Amen. Everyone, the lost sheep, the lost coin, the lost son, all had value. You are valuable. Amen. You are very valuable. You are incredibly valuable. And those people out there in the world that don't know Jesus, they are very valuable to God, because God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever would believe on him will not perish but have everlasting life. God sent his son. You know, it's an interesting thing. And how long did the woman search for the coin? Until what? So she searched until. How long did the guy look for the lost sheep? Didn't make any difference. It was night or day. He's going to look until he'll light a lamp. The woman lit a lamp. Jesus has lit our lamp.
Amen.
Until he finds it. Until she found it. That's what God has in her heart. That's that relentless love he has for us and he has for others. We need to attain to it. We need to make it ours, and we need to know it. Amen. We need to know that love, because he loves us. He loves you. He loves me. He loves the world. He loves men. He loves women. He loves them all. Can I hear an amen?
Amen.
Because it's just so true. It's just so true. Now, I want you to know today, the scripture says that God has broken down the barrier of the dividing wall. With all of its enmity against us, with everything that separated us from God, God has broken that down. You get a picture of that? That's a good picture. Now, I have spent the past 30-some years of my life trying to pick up the stones from that wall and the bricks and hopefully moving them out of the way instead of trying to put them back in and put mortar in and put them back up again. And we may spend the rest of our life removing the bricks and stones that we've that are standing there in front of us, because God broke it down. But it's up to us to remove the stubble, to get it out of the way so we can come in. If you read Isaiah, the scripture talks about remove the stones, build up a highway for our God in the desert.
Amen.
That's what God wants, a clear path for people to come, a clear path for us to come to him. Amen. Will you stand with me this morning? Jesus, you're so good. You're so good, Lord. You're so good. You're so good. There is somebody in this room today that I just really sense that God is saying that he is the same God who was with you when everything was going well. He is the same God now. He has not left you. He has not forsaken you. He is with you. He's going to bring you through this. And whatever is wrong, whatever has gone wrong, he's going to make it right. He'll make it right for you. He just wants you to trust him. Because he loves you and he cares about you. So I want you this afternoon, reach over and touch somebody's shoulder. Just reach out and touch somebody. Don't be afraid of them. Touch them. And God, we pray, God, that you will bless today. Lord, that you will lift up your face. You will shine. Your countenance will be lifted upon us. That God, we will be filled with peace. We invoke your name, Jesus, the blessing of heaven, upon our brothers and sisters, that we will be filled with your love, that we'll know the height, we'll know the depth, we'll know the length and the width of your love, God, for us. We'll have it, we'll experience it, we'll attain to it, and we will know intimately, God, your incredible love that you have for us, so that we might come into the fullness of what you have for us. God, we send out your blessing upon those that have gone away from the church, that have backslidden, that are out there in the world, Lord, and they're hurt, they're in pain, they're in shame, and they're afraid to lift their heads, and they just say it's too hard. We pray for them today, Father, that you will come to them in your incredible love, and that you will use us, that you will lay them upon our heart, God, and that they will be brought back into the fold. God, we pray that this incredible love that you've given to us now, right now today, and that we've always possessed, that every block, every stone will be moved out of the way. And that we will walk into the depth of the love that you have for us. We'll walk it out and people will see that love and be attracted. And we will be able to say with Jesus, if you've seen me, you've seen Jesus. As Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. God, may we walk out and be the epitome of your love. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Father, we thank you today. Bless your name, God. Hallelujah. If you would like prayer, I'll be up here. Lisa will come up. Dan's here. Dave's here. We will pray for you. If you'd like prayer for anything this morning, I'll be up here. Otherwise, I guess I'll hand it over to Dan here and let him finish up.
Yeah, please, anyone that wants prayer, please come forward. Thank you for coming today. God bless you. In Jesus' name.